So the parsha begins. Vayetze Yaakov mibe'er shava vayelech harana vayifkav makom vayalin sham. He comes to the place, a specific place, a holy place, and he sleeps there. The sun set prematurely for him, and he takes the stones of the place, places it around his head, and he sleeps in that place. And he has a dream. Pasuk Yud Beis vayachalom v'hinei sulam utzav arza v'roshom megia hashamayim. So the Rechaim HaKadosh has a very interesting insight into dreams in general. I personally find dreams to be very fascinating. And the Rechaim HaKadosh tells us that the way that Yaakov dreamt is very different than the klal that the Gemara has when it comes to dreams. Vayachalom, Pasuk Yud Beis. Says the Rechaim HaKadosh, Tam Omro v'hinei. The pasuk says, Vayachalom, he dreamt, v'hinei, and behold, there was a ladder. Pasuk Yud Gimel, v'hinei, Hashem was standing above the ladder. V'hinei, v'hinei, a few times throughout the dream, v'hinei, malachi elokim, olam v'yardim bo. So the Rechaim HaKadosh says, what does v'hinei mean? And why by Yaakov's dream do you see this word recur? Tam omro v'hinei, lihiyos she'ein hachalom muchlat b'chinas hatzedek, ki chalomos shavheim. We have to remind ourselves that many dreams are filled with nonsense. Dreams are sometimes filled with our own thoughts from the day. It's not a heavenly sign. It's not an indication of anyone's spiritual madriga. And a dream is not necessarily tzedek. It's not necessarily truthful. It's not necessarily correct. It's not necessarily any type of giloy from on high. Ki achalomos shavheim, because dreams are often nothing but silliness, right? Emptiness. Gam she'al kol panim yeh behem teven, ki heim b'mare hashiyamum. At the very least, dreams are made up of what? You know, Chazal say, there's no dream that doesn't have a little bit of falsehood in it. Right? I mean, even if parts of your dream are true, there's going to be part of the dream, which is what? Which is nothing other than the straw that surrounds the kernels of wheat. Right? It's a mare hashiyamum. Shiamu means boredom. That's how it's used in Mishnayos and Ksubis. But I think the way he's using it here, b'mare hashimum, I think what he means is that you're seeing it in a vision. What's the body language of a person who's bored? Well, you're just like spaced out, and you sit around and there's nothing to do. So too, when a person is dreaming, it usually occurs to a person when he's not mindful, right? When he's sleeping, when he's in a state of mindlessness. So I think that's what he means. So it makes sense that a dream should be filled with all sorts of nonsense. The body's on autopilot. The mind is racing in all sorts of crazy ways. And therefore, to negate that typical notion about a dream, when it comes to the dreams of Yaakov, the Torah repeatedly uses the word vihinei and behold. Pay attention. This dream is an authentic dream. What Yaakov saw in his dream, every detail is worth analyzing. And Chazal do in the Medrash. But Kol Advarim. Kol Advarim. The entire matter, right, is without any dimyonos.
What's Shimum?
Again, Shimum literally means, in the way it's used in Mishnayos, is boredom. Right? But I think it means mindlessness. I don't know. I'm not sure how it's used in modern Hebrew, if it's used at all. Dimyon means, what's that? How do you translate Dimyon?
Imagination.
Imagination, yeah. Imaginary images. So pay attention to Yaakov's dream because it doesn't have, it's not a mindless dream, and it's not Dimyonot Shav, it's not mindless images, it's not imaginary ideas. Elikol davar nigla etzlo umevo'ar kayom ya'ir. That his perception of the dream was perfectly clear, and everything that he saw in his dream was kayom ya'ir, was illuminated, was a real thing. It was a davar, it was a giloy milsa to him. And again, that's why Chazal spent a lot of time analyzing the details of Yaakov's dream. Yaakov's dream encompasses the entire story of Galus and Geula. There's a lot to be medayik in the dream of Yaakov, but the Torah hones us in on that fact by saying what v'hinei v'hinei v'hinei. Ve'einze doma l'shara chalomos shiroa davar ve'ino machlit b'riaso mashiroa. It was different than most dreams, where a person doesn't have machlit. There's no certainty in that which he saw. He's not exactly sure what his dream was. He doesn't remember the dream perfectly. And even if he does remember it perfectly, he doesn't know, where did this come from? Why am I thinking about this? Is there a message here? Is it a bunch of nonsense? Right? So therefore, Yaakov's dream is of a different quality. It's not like other dreams. Therefore, for each detail of a dream, the Torah introduces it with the word, Vihine, and behold, something significant is happening here. Omer Vihine Sulam. When he sees the Malachim, it says Vihine Malachai. Gabe Gilay Shechina, it says Vihine Hashem. Hakavana Bezeh, Ki Haisa Nevuah Mamish. That Yaakov's dream was not just a dream. It was Mamish and Nevuah, and again, every detail of it is important and worth paying attention to.
What's the matter day, like, Vihine, probably got, you know?
What do you mean? What's the... So that's very difficult for us to know which part of our dream. Again, Chazal already assume in the Gemara and Brachos that every dream has... Well, a dream is a 60th of a Nevuah. Right? It's a taste of Nevuah. But it means there's also a lot of... There's a lot of chaff. There's a lot of straw. There's a lot of, you know, junk that's mixed into the dream. So to identify the part of the dream that's true is a difficult thing. When Yosef has his dreams with his brothers, right? Parts are true, parts are maybe not true. The sun, the moon, and the stars, if the sun and the moon represent his father and his mother, well, his mother's not alive anymore, so how could his mother be appearing in the dream? Right? Rashi over there says, yes, because every dream has a little bit of an element that's not exactly kipshuto. So again, how do we interpret our dreams? Today, the poskim say, I once heard this b'shem the Novominsk Rebbe, but people say that b'zman hazeh, you know, we don't give too much weight to dreams. Big machlokas. Maybe Sunday. Should we have a cheer on dreams on Sunday?
Oh,
I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that. But there's a big machlokas in the Gemara. How do we view dreams? Sometimes the Gemara says, Dibre chalomos. The Gemara says in a few places that chalomos are lo malin velo moridin. Don't worry too much about a dream. It doesn't take up, it doesn't take down, it doesn't change reality, it doesn't mean anything. And then you have other Gemaras that say a dream is the 60th of a Nevuah. Yeah?
You might have to fast if you dream certain things.
Right? So that's why Bizman HaZeh, the Novominsk Rebbe, said, again, I once heard this quoted in his name, how do you spell?
Minsker.
Minsker, M-I-N-S-K-E-R. Novominsker, N-O-V-O, Minsker, Novominsker. That's his name, the Novominsk Rebbe.
Novominsker Rebbe, sorry.
So I heard it cited in his name that today we don't really give any weight to dreams. Again, how do we judge dreams in halacha and in machshava? Maybe Sunday we'll do a shiur on that, if you're interested. But the point is, Nominsker says, nowadays our dreams don't mean anything, because our minds are so overloaded with imagery, right? From television and from movies and from the internet and from images, that if you have a dream, if in the olden days you live in a little shtetl, yeah? And all of a sudden you have some crazy dream like this, you know, images of war, right? So you say, well, maybe it's a sign. Maybe a war is coming, right? Maybe a pogrom is coming to town. You never saw such a thing until you saw such a thing. But nowadays, where we've all seen so many images, or you have a terrifying dream, someone's chasing you with a gun. It's because you saw some commercial where some guy was running and some bad guy was chasing him. So again, we don't read into it so much that it's a simen ledavar. Unfortunately, we've watered down our mental capacity to receive anything meaningful in a dream. Okay? But again, Yaakov Avinu, lehafet, every bit of his dream was mamish nevuah. It's a very lofty madrega. Yeah?
Last year, so I actually... You know Rabbi Rabosky's or no? So I learned him on the dreams.
Mashkiach Shlita.
No, not anymore.
No?
I don't know. It was one of those.
Okay, whatever.
Whatever. I don't want to give my opinion. We had this like sefer called Mishnah Sefer, so we learned about dreams. And like, it seems to not say what this guy says. I mean, I'm saying like
who's this guy?
Yeah.
The Novominsker. Okay.
Actually, not only because like there were tactics to like interpret.
Yeah, no, so, of course. No, again, it's a big topic. It's a big topic.
He said all the time, also Rabbi Student. I mean, I can't learn it on my own because it's beyond my brain capacity. And he would just like leave his main explanation.
Okay.
But he always said that yes, a lot of the things that I was seeing, because I dream very vividly. So a lot of the things that I was seeing was that I did like crazy things and I watched crazy things. But he said like to him at least that a lot of them had like good like morals. At the end, like, even though,
we can learn from everything. We could watch a TV show, which is nonsense, and we can learn something from it. So you can learn something from your dreams, even if they're nonsensical, even if they're not a message from Hashem. We should always learn from everything we see or hear or interact with. But again, Yaakov's dream is obviously vihine. It's much more than that.
Sounds like enough.
Okay, Chaver, let's go on. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Yud Gimel, V'hinei Hashem Nitzav Alav. Hashem was standing above Alav. What's Alav? So the Pasha says that Hashem is on top of the ladder. And the Malachi Elokim, which are Olam V'yardim Bo, are going up and down the ladder. But the Rechaim HaKadosh has a different shot in Alav. V'hinei Hashem Nitzav Alav, Yirmoz Gam Al Yaakov. Not only was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, sitting on top of the ladder, or standing on top of the ladder, but rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing Alav on Yaakov. What does that mean, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing on you? It's a very good thing. Al derech omram ha'avos he'merkava l'shechina. If a person, so to speak, can carry HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his shoulders, right, that means that you become a chariot for the divine. You become a vehicle by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to travel in this world. And therefore, v'liyos shehu regel revi'i, Yomar b'diyuk nitzav alav yosar me'al avram v'yitzchak yu ikar ha'madas ha'kisei. That because Yaakov is the fourth leg of the kisei ha'kavod, or the fourth wheel of the divine chariot, therefore the Torah emphasizes Yaakov's ability to uphold HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne even more so than Avram and Yitzchak. Now, this is an interesting Orach Chaim HaKadosh, right? What are you thinking? Because David HaMelech is the one who's normally referred to as the fourth leg of the Merkava. Something to think about. Again, we know who the four are: Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, David. Those are the four legs, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne. Those are the four wheels of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chariot, kivyachol. But the notion of putting Yaakov in the fourth spot and saying that Yaakov is the primary one who carries HaKadosh Baruch Hu through this world, more so than Avram and Yitzchak, who each had children who unfortunately did not carry on the tradition, Yishmael and Esav, that Yaakov has a certain koach to carry HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a unique way. And that's V'hinei Hashem Nitzav Alav. Hashem is not just above the ladder, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is literally being supported in this world by Yaakov Avinu. Now I'll just add, they bring a vart from different tzaddikim. I've seen this brought in the name of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. In the Sefer Megid Give Us Olam, it brings this B'Shem Rav Chaim Volozhiner. It's brought from different tzaddikim though, both Talmidei HaGra and Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, that when the Pasuk says that the Malachim were Olam V'yardim Bo, you could also read it the same way. The same way that V'hinei Hashem Nitzav Alav doesn't just mean that God was on the ladder, but God was on Yaakov. So too, the angels that were ascending and descending, even though Pashup Shat is the angels were ascending and descending on the ladder, Rav Chaim Volozhiner and other tzaddikim say that no, that the angels were ascending and descending Bo. The Vart being, the idea being, that our behavior impacts everything, even the angels. The Alios and Yeridos, so to speak, whatever that means, of the Malachim Allah is dependent upon us. That angels will be able to be better angels, loftier angels, they'll be able to ascend Bo because of our behavior. And angels will descend, right, if we act in the wrong way. So as Jews, we have to remind ourselves that we're greater than angels, that we're always in the driver's seat, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dependent upon us, as is every bit of the Bria, including the Malachim, to help them to achieve their purpose in this world and the worlds beyond. Okay? Let's go to Pasuk Yud Dam. So he sees this dream, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is standing above the ladder, or above him, and the Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yaakov Avinu once again, you're going to be a great nation, v'hayazarcha, ka'afa ha'aretu faratza yama v'keima v'safona v'negva, v'nivruchu v'cha kol mishpachos ha'adama u'v'zarecha. Another powerful Orach Chaim HaKadosh, Pasuk Yud Dalet, v'nivruchu v'cha kol mishpachos ha'adama, that the whole world will be blessed by you, uvizarecha, and by way of your children. And it's a reminder to us how important we are. It's super important that we understand you can't walk around your whole life saying, I'm just a pashuti yid, I'm just a regular guy, right? I'm not going to be able to achieve anything great, neither for Klal Yisrael nor for the world at large. And it's simply not true. The angels will have aliyahs and yiridos depending on you. The animal kingdom, go back to Parshas Noach. The animal kingdom perverted its ways because humanity perverted its ways. So now that the Torah has been given to us and we've been singled out as being most responsible for the world, so our behavior affects everyone. And we bring bracha to the entire world in accordance with our behavior. Says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, Pasuk Yud Dalet, V'nivruchu b'cha kol mishpachos v'gomer, shekein matzinu ba'aram, shenizbaruchu bo. We see, Chazal explain in the Medrash even more clearly, that Yaakov's presence brought bracha. that Aram became blessed because of Yaakov's presence. As it says in the Medrash, V'zeh Lashono, Shekodem ba Yaakov hayu miduchakim l'mayim, V'kevin sheba nisbarchu b'mayim. When Yaakov came to the place was blessed with water. And prior to Yaakov's arrival, they struggled to find water. V'chein gam came to Mitzrayim. The same thing is true in Mitzrayim. Eis sheyared nisbat l'gezeras harav. When Yaakov came to Mitzrayim, even though there was supposed to be a gezerah, a famine, for 7 years, right? It only lasted 2 years because Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim to meet Yosef, and that was mevatel the gezerah. So the tzaddik brings tremendous bracha in his barcha l'raglo, and through his presence, through his arrival, bracha was sholeit in Mitzrayim. But the pasuk ends, okay, so that's Yaakov Avinu. That's Avram, that's Yitzhak, that's Yaakov. But it's also the children. The pasuk ends what? With the word what? Uvizar Echa. Says the Rachaim HaKadosh Va'omu Uvizar Echa, Shekol Zman Chaya Beis HaMikdash Kayam, Haysav Birchas Ayin Umos Vekiumam Be'emtsos Yisrael Shayim Akriven Ayin Parm Bechak. When we had the Beis HaMikdash, the 70 nations of the world were literally sustained through us, through the 70 Parim, the 70 cows that were brought, 70 bulls that were brought over the course of what? Over the course of Sukkos. One for each of the 70 nations. Uvigalus, so now we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so now what? We can't provide for the world anymore. Not true. Uvigalus gam kein kium ha'umos usmichasam hi Yisrael. Today in Galus, the world is still dependent upon us. It's supported by us. As the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, it's in Perak Aleph, Pasuk Vav, Samuni noteira es hakaramim. What does it mean? I was appointed as the watchman, as the guard, over the, what's a karam? A vineyard. I was assigned to watch the vineyard, which means that even in Galus, Jews have a responsibility, even when we're not channeling our hashpah through the karbanos of the Beis HaMikdash and the 70 parim of Sukkos, but we're still making a difference in the world. So I want to share with you my favorite Shem Yishmo. I've shared it many times in the past, but we'll chazer it over because it's very nogeya to this piece of our Chaim HaKadosh. In Parshas HaAzinu, the Shem Yishmol says a very, very powerful and empowering thing. The Pasuk says about Klal Yisrael, it says a person should study history, Zechor Yomos Olam, know how the world works, right? Binu Shnos Dor Vador, understand the generations. And it says over there in HaAzinu, Parak Lamed Bey is Pasuk Ches, Yatsev Givulos Amim Lemispar B'nei Yisrael. Yatsev Givulos Amim Lemispar B'nei Yisrael. The end of the Torah, Parshas HaAzinu. Lamed Bez Ches. What does that mean? Yatsev Givulos Amim Lemispar B'nei Yisrael. Yatsev. What is Yatsev? We just had the word a second ago. Yitzav Alav. Yatsev. Hashem stands or sets up the Givulos Amim, the borders of the nations, Lemispar B'nei Yisrael, in accordance with the number of the Jewish people. Says the Shem Yishmol in Parshas HaZinu. In the good old days, when we went down to Mitzrayim, how many members were there in Yaakov's family? 70. Each of those 70 people corresponded to the 70 nations of the world. Says the Shem Yishmuel, as the nations of the world multiplied, as there are many subcategories and sub-nations of the primary 70 nations of the world, just for your own knowledge, the 70, by the way, are divided between Yaakov and Esav, between Yishmael and Esav, right? 35 are under the dominion of Esav, and 35 under Yishmael. So someone can think about what that means, that division of 35. It means something. Fine. But there are 70 nations, 70 primary nations. But now there are many more than 70 nations. There are 7.5 billion people in the world. There are about, what, 15 million Jews? Which means, do the math. Yatzev givulos amim l'mispar b'nei Yisrael. It used to be the 70 great members of Yaakov's family each took on one nation. Bizman hazeh, we don't necessarily have to take on a whole nation, but again, just do the math. Every Jew is assigned X number of non-Jews, members of the world, who are dependent upon you, are connected to your neshama. What does that mean? I always give the same mashal. Imagine you're davening one day, yeah? And it's Chazaras HaShatz, and you have a choice to make. You could try to do Chazaras HaShatz. What do you mean do Chazaras HaShatz? The Chazan does Chazaras HaShatz. No. Go watch Rav Shechter daven Chazaras HaShatz. Watch how he stands and listens attentively with his feet together and his eyes closed to the Chazan, and he answers Amen to the Brachos. So you have a choice. You could try to do Chazaras HaShatz, which according to the Arizal and many is even more chashuv than your silent amida. Or you can check an email on your cell phone. You can respond the main Yehishmir Rabbah to the Kaddish of the Chazan. Or you could, you know, you could space out for a second, you could be busy with something else. So what happens in that moment? So imagine the following. Imagine you're davening mincha, and imagine there's a fellow in Ohio who's on his way to a job interview. Nice fellow. We'll call him Tim. Tim's on his way to a job interview. He's got a wife. He's got a son and a daughter, two little children. He's got a dog. He's got a white picket fence. And he lost his job the other week. And it's really tough on him and his wife. And the kids are starting to pick up on it. There's a lot of tension in the home. And Tim's on his way to a job interview. Says the Shem Yishmuel, your decision to say Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba or to respond to that text message during Chazar HaSashas or during Kaddish might impact Tim's ability to get that job. So you might say, well, I'm not so connected to Tim. I don't know who Tim is. I don't know which non-Jews correspond to me. But Lahavdil, if you ever read that book by Mitch Albom, what's that book called? The Five People You Meet in Heaven, yeah? One day you're going to meet Tim. And one day you're going to review the record. And one day Tim's going to say to you in the Olam HaEmes, right, that I was able to provide for my family. Tim's a nice guy. Tim's a nice member of humanity. So one day Tim's going to be able to say to you, thank you so much. I was able to buy my children food and clothing and to pay my mortgage because you did what was asked of you by the Jewish God, by the God of the Jewish people, right? By the God of the world. So says the Shemesh, well, that's what it means. Yatsev gevulos amim lemisfar b'nei Yisrael. Such a powerful idea. That there are countless people in the world, the billions of people on planet Earth, scattered who knows where, that somehow in some strange way are connected to your neshama, and your role as a Jew is not to be haughty because of that, but to take a chrayis for them. And sometimes it's a very good way to give ourselves extra strength, to say, you know what, who knows? There could be some guy who's lying in a hospital bed, whose life is hanging in the balance, and my decision to learn Torah could save him. Again, it's a weighty responsibility, but it's a very chashuv thing to realize. That v'nivrchu b'cha kol mishpachos ha'adama uvizarecha. That not only was Yaakov a source of bracha to the world, but every single Jew is a source of bracha, and samuni notera as a karamim. That even in Galus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has assigned us to keep an eye on the vineyard. Okay? Now, the Shem Yishmuel goes, the Harachayim HaKadosh goes on. We've got to hang on to the questions a little bit, I'm sorry. The Orachayim HaKadosh goes on. Yeah, let's hear.
What's that word that you said that connects this
place? What word? What do you mean?
You said there's a word that's used right there and there. It's like stand up or something.
No, Yatsev. Yatsev is the word of Hazinu.
Where is that?
Yatsev Gevulos Amim. Here it says that that HaKadosh Baruch was Nitzav Alav. He stands upon Yaakov. Back in Pasuk Yigimel. Look in your gimel, Nitzav Alav. But I'm not making a connection between the two. I'm just connecting the ideas over there and over here. In terms of Yaakov's ability to bring bracha and our ability to...
Isn't that a thing though? We took him or...
Maybe.
Especially since you're saying it's the same idea, so...
Maybe.
What word are
you going to say? Yatsev. Hazinu perek lamed beis pasuches is the pasuk. Yatsev gevulos amim. Hashem, you set up the borders of the nation. Lemispar b'nei Yisrael. In accordance with the number of the Jewish people. Okay, here's an amazing piece. It's a little lengthy, but it's worth it. Look at the very next piece in Pasuk Yud Dalet. The Rechaim, as he does several times, we've seen it a few times, and we'll see it a few more times as we learn the Sefer over the course of the year. The Rechaim HaKadosh sometimes takes a whole chunk of Psukim and explains them, B'derech Remez, as being a reference to the entirety of one's life experience. So the Orachayim HaKadosh says, "Vayetze Yaakov mibe'er sheva v'yelach harana v'yifgav makom v'yalan sham kiva ha'shemesh v'chulu v'chulu v'chulu." These first psukim of the parsha can be understood as the soul's experience being sent to Olam Hazeh. And it's gavaldik. So take a look. Uvederech remes. Where are we on the page, in case anyone's lost us?
Bottom left
of Kuf Mem Hei. Psh, goyach of Isaac. Uvederech remes kol ha'parsha tirmoz inyan ha'adam. B'derech Remez, we can explain all these psukim not as the story of Yaakov Avinu Befrat, but the story of every Jew, Bechlal. Right? The story of the entirety of man. Ukemoshe Yischilu Lomar Chazal, as Chazal already hinted this somewhat in the Zohar Kadosh. Vayetze Yaakov. Yaakov goes out. It's not only the person Yaakov. Maisa Avo Simon Labanim. The descendants of Yaakov also go out. Where do we go out from? Our neshama comes to this world. Vayetze Yaakov hi anefesh b'tzeisa me'olam elyon. V'nikra Yaakov al shem yetzahara ha'korach ba'akevav. We come to this world. Vayetze Yaakov. Yaakov is an interesting word. It's yud and it's akev. Right? It's the akev, which means the heel, which back in Bereishis, the Nachash is trying to bite at, which is merames to one's yetzahara. He says, Yaakov al shem yetzahara. The snake that is korach ba'akevav. That's why this generation, which is called the Ikvus of the Mashiach, the Akev, we are the Akev, we are the heel of the entire story of the Jewish people, so we're very much under attack, because the Nachash bites the Akev. The Nachash strikes at the Akev. So the Nachash today, the Yitzhara today, is stronger than ever before. But of course it's Yud. Yaakov is Yud Akev, right? Yud is the holiest letter. It's the letter that floats in the air. Think about it. All the Hebrew letters, they rest on the line. Some Sophit letters dip down below the line. Again, if I was to write letters on lined paper, or lined parchment. Right? But the letter Yud floats in the air. It doesn't rest. A Yehudi, a Yid, a Yud. That's who we're compared to. So there's a part of me that's the Eker, that's the lowest part of the body. And there's a part of me that's a Yud, which is Meramis to the Olam. The Olam was Elyonim. The letter Yud is flying in the sky. The Gemara says in Menachos that Yud is Meramis to Olam Haba, as opposed to the letter Hey, which is Olam Hazeh. So the name Yaakov, which is our name of the Jewish people, is a combination of such lofty potential and so much potential struggle and so much Yetzer Hara as well. So Vayetze Yaakov, the Neshama comes down to this world and has to grapple with its Yetzer Hara and has to try to serve Hashem amidst all the Hester Panim. V'omru mi Be'er Shava. The Neshama comes to this world the same way that Yaakov left a place called Be'er Shava. What is that being meramis to? What does the Neshama do before it comes to this world? It takes a shvua. It takes an oath. Makom shemimenu yetzu haneshamos yikra be'er mayim chayim. The Neshama comes from a be'er mayim chayim, from the mishkan haneshamos, from the storehouse of the neshamos in the world beyond. And it comes to this world v'sheva. Yirmos al shvuas Hashem asher tishva hanefesh b'tzeisa. The soul takes an oath before it comes to this world. Shelo ta'avor al devar Torah. The Gemara in Nida. That before a person is born, you take a shvua. Ti tzadik v'al ti rasha. Rav Bono Shalom says, swear to me you're going to be a tzadik. And the neshama takes that shvua. The neshama has no problem taking that shvua. It's the body that's struggling to be mekayim that shvua. So the neshama is sent to this world from a lofty place. It's sent into a world of Yitzhara, into the world of the Akev, the world below, the lowest of worlds. It takes a shvua before it comes to this world. Vayelech Charana. Vayelech Charana. Of course, Pashat Pshat, Charan is a place. Charan is a place. But he says, B'derech Remez, what it means is, Al derech Omram Zal Sanhedrin Sadi Aleph, the Gemara says, Ki Yetzer Hara Yikanes Va'adam Mitzeso Mirechem Imo. When does the Yitzhara enter the body? It's a machlokas in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. We assume that the Yitzhara enters the body when the child emerges from the mother's womb. As the Pasuk says back by Cain in Bereishis Perek Dalet, La Pesach Vigomer. At the entrance, La Pesach Chatas Rovetz. That sin crouches at the doorway. Which means that the second the child is born, the Yitzhara enters the child's body. So Vayelech, as soon as you begin the journey, Charana. What is charana? Charana. Charan means anger. Charon af. Right? You're going to have to contend with something. There's going to be a bitter part of yourself. There's a Yetzirah that enters your body. He's entering into that world of charan, into the world of struggle, the world of frustration, the world of anger. Right? And that's all the embodiment of the Yetzirah. Va'omru vayifka ba'makom. Vayifka ba'makom. One needs to encounter the makom. Makom, of course, is a name of Hashem. Pigia is sometimes a lashon of tefillah. Pegiah is a lashon of tefillah, like the Gemara says in the fourth parak of Brachos. Ki tzarecha adam lispal Hashem shehu mekomo sheolam shelo yazvenu biado. Vayifka b'makom. You have a yitzhara, so what do you need to do? Like we said in the past. Davin. Davin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help you to conquer your yitzhara. We davin every day. Chaim pointed out to me. Chaim, point out to everyone, please. And Shavua, at the end of Shemona Esrei, right? Yeah, what are you telling me?
I want to hear it.
Is it only in Nusach Svar?
Yeah.
Oh, it's
Yiratzon? No, yeah. It's Yiratzon. In the Nusach Svar, Yiratzon, at the end of Elokai Nitzor, what does it say? We ask, please, Hashem, we daven, save me from the Yitzhara.
You want to write the base Midah?
No, before that. Built into Elokai Netzor. Is a Yiratzon. Protect me from the Yitzhara. We daven also in Birchas HaShachar, we say.
Right?
The Tavienu of... What? Yeah. But that's Elena Mitzahara. Right? Exactly. Protect me. So we have to daven. And not only formal tefillos, but we have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Please, protect me from the Yitzhara. Vayifka b'makom. Encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Makomo Shel Olam. Chaver, let's go weiter. Va'omro. And then it says, Vayalan Sham Kiva HaShemesh. It says Pashup Shah, Yaakov slept there because the sun had set. Shitzarich li hisnai kain ad lechto me olam hazek ishayarib shimsho. Until when must one struggle against the Yitzhara? For how long must one continue to encounter the makum to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help? Until what? Until the sun sets, until you die. Because al tamin ba'atzmechad yo moscha. You can't trust yourself till the day of death. The Yitzhara can always be trying to get a person. It says that Yaakov took from the stones of the place. What are the stones of the Makom? If Makom is Hashem, what are Hashem's stones? It's the beginning of Sefer Yetzir is the answer. But he quotes the Gemara in Brachos. It says in Brachos, Dafayam Abates, Amr Bishum ben Lakush, La'olam Yargiz Adam Yetzir Tov, Vim Lav Yasok Betorah, Dichsiv Imru Bilvavchem. V'hu Amru Me'avne Hamakom, Perish. Binyano shel olam, sheim divrei Torah. Take Hashem's stones. What are Hashem's stones? Like the Gemara in Brachos says, if your Yetzirah starts up with you, fight back with the Yetzir Tov. If you don't know what that means, says the Gemara, you can't do that, learn Torah. Because Torah was used to what? To build the world. Avanim, the osios at the beginning of Sefer Yetzirah are referred to as stones, as bricks and stones. Because you could build something. You could build something with Torah. So therefore, Vayikach me'avne ha'makom, take HaKadosh Baruch Hu's precious stones, the thing that built the world, binyano shel olam, right? The same way we build homes out of stone, we pave roads with stone, we build with stone. So take Hashem's spiritual stones and build yourself up against the Yitzhara. Gam yisyachis lahem avne ha'makom, shebehem niskol v'nirgam Yitzhara v'kochosav. And you could also use these stones to throw them at the Yitzhara, right? To stone the Yitzhara. V'hu omram zal in Sota, the Gemara says in Sota, Torah matzelas me Yitzhara. Torah, unlike mitzvos, Torah protects a person from the Yitzhara. Beim bezman she osikba, beim bezman she eino osikba. Vayikach me'avne makom. You're able to take it with you. A mitzvah protects you while you're osik in the mitzvah. But a person who has the schus of Torah, Torah creates a shmira for a person even when he's not learning, when he's taking a break. But if he learned properly, Torah comes with him. Vayikach me'avne makom. Where did he take these stones? Where did Yaakov put them? V'yosem mirash osav. He placed them around his head. Yechavin al derech ma'ash amr v'shom ben lakish. Im lo nitzcho yikra kriyashma. Shalamita. Shenemar al mishkavchem. When Yaakov took the stones, he made them into a pillow. Which means what? Which means if you can't defeat the Yitzhara through Torah, the Gemara's next bit of advice is recite Shema. Recite Shema. So he says, this is Merames to Kriyashma Shalamita. Right? Kriyashma Shalamita. Which serves as a source of tremendous shmira for a person. V'omro v'yishkav v'makom ahu. And then it says that Yaakov slept in that place. Yechavin l'mashasim rishon ben lakush. The Gemara is a three-step technique to fighting off the Yitzhara. Right? First, you have to try to fight back with Torah. If Torah doesn't work, you should try to fight back with Kriyashma. If Kriyashma doesn't work, tell your Yitzhara, listen buddy, you need to calm down because one day I'm going to die and I'm going to have to answer for this. So Vayishka Bamako means what? Remind yourself that you're eventually going to Yishkav, you're going to go to sleep forever. Right? The body's going to go to sleep forever at least. Yom HaMisa. Vayishkav Shchiva Hayadua Bamako Hayadua Derech Ol Haaretz Beis Moed L'Chol Chai. You are going to have to return your soul to its creator and the body's going to go to sleep in the ground the way of all of those who are alive. This is how it goes. V'achar kol atanam halalu. And after all of this hachana and all of this preparation, muftachu shinatzeach yitzhara. If you follow this pattern of advice from Chazal, you'll certainly be zochet to defeat yitzhara. U'me'at mevaser akasuv she'aroy la'anaf me'anfei anavua she'igaleh Hashem elav b'chalom yedaber bo. And that's why the psukim go on and start to describe that the one who defeats his yitzhara is zochet a connection to Hashem. And that's how the psukim go on to describe Yaakov having what? A prophetic vision. A deep connection to Hashem. Hashem nitzav alav. And if we fight against our Yetzer Hara in this way, we will also be zocha to that nevuah. Okay, the piece goes on and he explains a little bit more about this concept of the malachim going up and going down. I'll just tell you one little part at the end. You can see it maybe inside, but I'll tell it to you outside. What does it mean the angels are going up and down? It means that we send up our zchuyos and we bring down shefa to this world. So again, realize when we defeat our Yetzer Hara, we're actually bringing down a lot of goodness to this world, and hopefully we too will be zocha to Hashem, hinei Hashem nitzav alav, that Hashem should feel as comfortable being on top of us the same way he was on top of Yaakov the individual, Yaakov Avinu. The same thing should be true for Yaakov in the form of Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's jump ahead to Pasuk Chaf. Again, there's a lot more to see here. It's a very interesting piece. The remainder of this piece on Pasuk Yudalid, the rest of the piece, he talks about how when a person is sleeping, he's partially connected, his neshama is partially connected to his body and partially not. When a person dies, you're partially connected to your body and partially not. He says, why is it that when you're sleeping, sometimes your body moves and it brings the neshama back? There's a connection that even when a person's asleep and the neshama is interacting with the body in a different way, it maintains a connection. So even in death, there is a connection between body and soul. Maybe that's the loose bone. Maybe that's why we eat Malav HaMalka on Motzei Shabbos. Okay, let's go on. It says that Yaakov wakes up from his sleep, reading the Pesukim, Vayikat Yaakov Mishnasa, this is Pasuk Tazayin, and Yaakov recognizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in this place, and then he davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he says the following in Pasuk Chaf, Vayidur Yaakov Neder Lemur, Imihiye Elohim Imadi, Ushmarani Baderech Hazeh Asher Anochi Holich, V'nosan Li Lechem Lechol Ubeged Lilbosh. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu watches over me, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu protects me on the road, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives me food to eat and clothing to wear, then, if I'm zochet to come back to this place, I'll continue to serve you, I'll continue to worship in this spot, and I'll give a donation, 10%, right? I'll give 10% of all that I earn, I'll give to you. What does it mean when Yaakov says, Im yihye Elokim imadi, if God will be with me? That's how we would probably translate it. But I think there's something very nice hinted to in a short Orach Chaim HaKadosh, Pasuk Chaf. Take a look, Im yihye. Dibur HaMaschil, Im yihye. What does it mean, Im yihye? If Hashem will be with me, he's negotiating with God. If God will be with me, you do for me, I'll do for you. Yaakov has a certain confidence. And I think this has a place in the way that we talk to Hashem. That we don't just say, Hashem, can you do this for me? But say, Hashem, do this for me. I need you to do this for me. To speak more forcefully to Hashem. Im yihyeh. Look how he translates im. Im zeh tisparish al derech masha amru chazal. This im is similar to the way that the Gemara understood other ims of the Torah. There are three ims of the Torah. Where im means when. Not if. Not optional. You must. For example, im kofer, im kesef, talve. Right? The Torah's not saying, if you lend your fellow Jew money, when you lend your... There's a mitzvah to lend money to a fellow Jew. Im means when you will lend money. She'eino safik elevadai, uki'ilu amar kasher hiyeza. So Yaakov says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm confident that you will be with me, that you will provide me with food, and you will provide me with clothing. And therefore, when you will be with me, Ribbono Shel Olam, I just want to thank you in advance and let you know that I'm going to pay you back kiviyachol in my way by offering karbanos and by giving donations to tzedakah. But I'm positive that you're not going to abandon me. And that's something that Yaakov, because of his commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, could say with absolute confidence. Yeah?
Don't we know what Rachel say fling that?
Right, so that's a good question. There's a balance between demanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and now there's a piece in Likutei Moharan where Rabbi Nachman explains the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, right, that says that don't make your tefillah kava, don't make your tefillah set, rather it should be tachanunim lefnei amakom. So Rabbi Nachman says that the word kava sometimes means stolen. You have psukim in Malachi, for example, that use the word kava as a lashon of stealing. Osi atem kovim, I think, is the pasuk in Malachi. Right, so don't steal your tefillahs. What does it mean, don't steal your tefillahs? Rabbi Nachman says, because sometimes we come to Hashem, we say, we demand, we expect this, and if we don't do it to us, then we're going to threaten you with, we're going to do averus. We're going to rebel against you. So we can't be unfair in our demands of Hashem, but we should also be able to be confident that when we ask Avinu Shebashamayim, to help us out, because we're going to use it in the right way. Yaakov wasn't asking for a mansion. Yaakov wasn't asking for an extensive wardrobe. He said, I need lechem lechol, who beged lilbush.
Aren't you supposed to say it in a way that's like, I know like you're already giving me so much more, but like I need a little bit more?
Well, it's okay, maybe. But again, it's something, this is a madrega in tefillah, maybe only for Yaakov's, I don't know. But I think it's something we can, in the right way, not to always be used, but can be used, that sometimes we say Hashem, we say it as a matter of fact, an expectation you're going to provide for me. Yeah?
I was going to say, it's like, according to like what Rahim said, it's just like, it will be a reality that when you lend money, so I think Yaakov is going to identify the fact that there is a reality that at some point in the future, Hashem will be with him. So it's kind of like an IOU, Yaakov saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like, you're going to have my back, or you're going to be with me going forward, and
right.
I'll give you...
Right.
I guess Yaakov has a way of knowing that, because he knows...
But again, also realize what he's asking for. Right? Sometimes when we ask for things, we have very lofty expectations what we want from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yaakov says, I want lechem lechol, beged lilbush. A number of years ago, I heard a story. It's a good week to tell it. We'll tell it. Lilo Nishmas, the Rebbetzin of Matisyahu Salomon, the story who just passed away, the Mashkiach from Lakewood's wife. So Rav Matisyahu, Ishto Kagufa. So he tells us about Rav Matisyahu, it's also Ishto Kagufa. It'll be Eloi Nishmas, his Rebbetzin. So I heard a story a number of years ago that Rav Matisyahu was once davening. He was somewhere in New York City, and he was davening Mincha, and someone was reciting Parshas Haman. Someone was reciting Parshas Haman, the Psukim of the Man, which is the Segula for Parnassa. Right, you know, the Tuesday of Parshas Beshalach, you say Parshas Aman, it's very mesugal for Parnassa, some people say it every day. So Matisyahu is standing there, there's this young professional standing in this office, davening Mincha, about to daven Mincha, saying Parshas Aman before Mincha. And an older, more cynical Jew walks in, and he sees this young guy, you know, trying to make a living off of saying Parshas Aman. And he says to him, oh, Parshas Aman. He says, Parshas Aman. He says, trust me, my friend. He said, I've been saying Parshas Aman for years. The garnished helfen doesn't do anything. It's not going to work. So Matisyahu turns to the fellow, and he says to him, if you don't mind, if I can just ask you a question. He says, how many times in your life did you go to sleep, you know, not having had supper, because you couldn't afford food? So the guy says, zero. He says, then how many times did you wake up in the morning and like you literally had nothing to eat in your home? So he says, zero. So he says, so how can you say Parshas Aman garnished helfen? What was the man? The man was breakfast and it was dinner. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made sure that you've had that your entire life. So how can you say Parshas Aman garnished? Because you think Parshas Aman equals, you know, millions and billions, right? Parshas Aman works. You have to just know what the man is. So Yaakov Avinu says, Rabbona Shalom, I'm positive you're going to provide for me. You know why? Because I'm asking like a mensch. I need bread to eat, right? All I need is bread to eat and clothing to wear. I don't need more than that. And Hashem, if you do that for me, wow, will I repay you. Okay, so someone who talks like that can have a certain confidence that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide. Next piece. V'haya Hashem li le'lokim. If Hashem will be for me a God, what on earth does that pasuk mean? When I come back to this place, v'shavti b'shalom al-beis avi, v'haya Hashem li le'lokim, that God should be my God. That yudke vavke should be elokim. Definitely something to think about there. Right? Different names of Hashem in the Pasuk. But Hashem should be for me a God. What does that mean? Says the Rechayim HaKadosh about Ata Eino Lelokim Chas V'Shalom. But until now he wasn't his God. You're negotiating. If you behave, God, if you act a certain way, then you'll be my God. Then you'll really be my God. What does that mean? So he quotes Rashi. Rashi Zal Perish Shalo Yimatse Psul Bizarro. Asking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should protect that he shouldn't have any children who go off the Derech, that all Jewish children should recognize that Hashem is the true God. And I don't see how that's hinted to in this pasuk of Ahaya Hashem li lelokim. I don't know where Rashi found it. Ahaya is always a lashon of simcha. But he says, I don't know how Rashi, I'm not sure where Rashi saw this in the pasuk. Okay. So I'll tell you what I think the pshat is, says the Rechayim HaKadosh. Right? And according to Rashi, we're going to have to wait till every Jew is ever born to see if every Jew has within himself a deep connection to Hashem. And then what? Then Yaakov's going to offer the karbanos that he promised here. Then Samti Matseva. Then he'll set up his altar. Rashi is an open-ended statement. Yaakov says, if you'll be a God to all of the Jewish people, then I'll bring you I'll make an altar in your honor. I'll make a Mizbeach, a Matseva in your honor. So the Rechaim B'Kadosh says, I'll tell you what it means. You know what Yaakov is asking? And again, we're learning this morning about the unbelievable greatness, the madrigals of Yaakov Avinu. V'anachon hu sheniskavin lomar shenisyached elav shem Hashem le'elokim. Kesheim sheniskyached alav osof. What is the rule that's found in this week's Parsha and Rashi? Hashem does not attach his name to a tzaddik until the tzaddik leaves this world. Hashem does not call himself Elokei anyone until the tzaddik is no longer alive. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was afraid that what? Even the tzaddik, who was a tzaddik for so many years, could go off the death. So Hashem says, yeah, I'm the God of so-and-so. And then so-and-so becomes a heretic. Hashem says, I don't sign off on anyone until they're out of this world. What's the exception? Comes up in this week's parsha. Yitzhak. Why is Yitzhak the exception? Rashi says, Hashem says, I'm happy to be called the God of Yitzhak because Yitzhak is blind. And when a person is blind, he's stuck at home. And because he's stuck at home, what? We're confident that he's not going to get himself into trouble. I was thinking about this Rashi. This is a Meiridik Rashi. I was going to save it for Shovavim. But I'll tell it to you now, and I'll tell it to you again then. You heard this? You heard that Rashi's telling us? As long as you have eyes that can see, you could be the biggest tzaddik in the world, but your eyes can get you into so much trouble that you can lose everything. Hashem says, anyone who has eyes, I can't trust. I can't trust. The temptation of the eyes, you can be a person who learns Torah day and night. Your eyes, you can see something which can ruin you completely. And there are people who've destroyed their life, right, with the temptations of the eyes. The root of the chet etz hadas was when Chava looked at the tree. It all starts with the eyes. So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll sign off on Yitzhak. He can't see. I can trust that he'll be a tzaddik. If you have eyes, Hashem says, until you're dead, I can't sign off that you live the life of righteousness. That's how delicate the inyan of the Einayim is. That's a big deal. But Yaakov Avinu, who says the Rechaim HaKadosh, is saying to Hashem here, you can trust me, Rabbono Shel. I want you to be my God. I want you to have the confidence to say, I am the God of Yaakov Avinu. The same way that Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, that you were able to sign off on Avram and Yitzchak, Avram only after he was gone, and Yitzchak because of his unique situation. Yaakov says, sign off on me, Rabbono Shel. Hu Omro Li Le'elokim, Perish Li B'Yichud, I want you to be my God. I want you to say, I am comfortable being the God of Yaakov. And again, like we saw earlier, V'hinei Hashem Nitzav Alav. Hashem is standing on Yaakov. Hashem is dependent upon Yaakov. Hashem is being carried through this world by Yaakov Avinu. So in a certain sense, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yes, Yaakov, I do have confidence in you. Okay, and again, we have to try as Jews, as much as that klal exists, that Hashem will not sign off on our lives until we finish our life, because until you finish, there's no guarantees, so you make it till the end. Like we spoke about earlier this week, even in the Yom, on the Yom HaMisa, in the moment of Misa, the Yetzirah tries to get you to be Toal Rishonos, Kedushin Daf Mem, to regret everything. Right? So until your neshama has been returned, Hashem says, I can't trust you. I don't trust anyone. The Baal Shomer Emunim, Rav Arla Roth, Rav Arla used to say, I don't trust Bachrim. He said, why not? You have a Bachar here, he's a Ben Torah, he's a big tzaddik, right? But I don't trust Bachar. The truth is, you know, I agree with Rav Arla. I also don't trust Bachar. You see a guy come back from Shana Aleph, and you know, his shirt's tucked in, and his sister out, and he's got a long Shemona Esrei. I don't trust him for a second. Let's see what he looks like in 5 years from now. Let's see what he looks like in 10 years from now. Right? Let's see if this is just, 2 weeks, you know, let's see what he looks like in 2 weeks from now. Yeah. Right? It's so easy to fall back into one's old ways and to become cynical. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't trust people, not because I don't like you, but Hashem says, let's you have to finish the job, and then I'll sign off on you. But Yaakov says, Rabbono Shel, trust me, you can sign off on me. Li Le'elokim, you could be my personal God. You don't have to worry. I'm good, I'm reliable. Yes?
Just another raya for the Yitzhak Avinu.
Yeah.
Mar says, I think when you're blind, you're like dead.
Right, Suma Chashav Kames. Right? So that's exactly the point, right? That a Suma, a blind person, is like that because he's trapped in that way. So Hashem can sign off on him. That's correct. Okay, look at the next piece of Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Very interesting. A little foreshadowing of what's going to come in the future. Pasuk says, "Va'even hazos asher samti matzeva yabeis alokim," that this rock will become, right, beis alokim. What he means is, I'll worship God in this place. But look what he writes, an amazing thing. He writes, "Va'even hazos yira ki hi zo even hashasiya," that this rock was in fact the foundation stone of the Beis HaMikdash. She's mina lemikdash. That Yaakov Avinu was preparing, was prepping the stone which would be the centerpiece of the Kodesh Kedoshim, of the Mikdash. Umatzinu lo shehiz min atzei shitim lemishkan v'midbar. And we see that Yaakov also had the foresight to prepare the wood which would be used for the Mishkan. So look how Yaakov Avinu was already, in his time, thinking about Klal Yisrael, thinking about a need for a Mishkan and a Mikdash in the future, and making the preparations of the wood of the Mishkan and the stone of the Mikdash. And therefore, when the Pasuk says, the Rechaim says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us in Parshas Truma, V'asu li Mikdash, make for me a Mikdash, it's Lashon Mizuman. Make me a Mikdash. Make me a Mikdash sounds like, make me a Mikdash. What do you mean, make me a Mikdash? Right? V'asu li Mikdash. Prepare for me a Mikdash. It sounds like it's prepared already. It is prepared already. Because Yaakov Avinu prepared it. Perish, Mashekvar Huzman, Ki Mishkan Vegam Beis HaMikdash Veshneim Hizminam Yaakov. Yaakov has already designated them. We can call it a Mikdash. We call the Mishkan a Mikdash, and the Mikdash a Mishkan. The Gemara says we use the terms interchangeably. But what it means is that already at the time of the Mishkan, there was already the Mikdash was in place. Right? And at the time before even the Mishkan was in place. Because Yaakov Avinu prepared everything in advance. And therefore, V'shachanti B'socham Choza Al Shnei Hachanos Eilu. V'shachanti B'socham, Hashem says, I've already dwelt within it. Because again, Yaakov has already arranged for the possibility of a Mishkan and the Mikdash in the future. Okay, let's jump ahead. Let's go to Parachov Tess. Yaakov is seeking a Shidduch. And he comes to the well, and there's a big rock on top of the well. And he starts, strikes up a conversation with the locals, with the shepherds. Vayomerlem Yaakov, Achai, me'ayinatem, what's going on, Chevra? Right? Do you know Lavan? And they start talking back to him, and they're talking, and they're talking, and they are talking, and they're talking. And then the Pasuk says, Pasuk Tes, Odenu medaber imam. Yaakov was still speaking to them, and lo and behold, Rachel appears. Whoa, hold on a second. What do you mean Yaakov was still speaking to them? The Pasuk says, Yaakov said, Shalom Aleichem Chevra, do you know Lavan? Then they started speaking. They were speaking, they were speaking, they were speaking. Says the Pasuk, Yaakov was still speaking to them and Rachel appeared. Why does that say Yaakov was still speaking to them? Maybe the Pasuk should say they were still speaking to him. I love this Orach Chaim HaKadosh. Look at this. Odenu medaber imam, he was still speaking to them. Pasuk Tes. Hine lefi seder akasuv hei medaber me lov. They were talking to him. Read the Pesukim. V'hayelo lomar odam medaber imo. Ki acher tshuvasamba. Rachel appeared while they were responding. So why does the pasuk say Yaakov was still talking? Answers the Rachai Mekalish v'ulai ki litzad sh'ikir sipura inyan hu hodas ha'over al Yaakov v'lezeh tala hadavar bi'ikaro shehu Yaakov. Even though they said a lot more than Yaakov said, but the Torah is not writing this story because of them. The Torah is not recounting what they said because they are independently important. The Torah cares about Yaakov Avinu. And therefore, this whole conversation, even the parts that they're speaking, it's Yaakov talking to them. The Torah wants us to focus on who's the ikar of the conversation, right? Hodas ha'over al Yaakov. The Torah is recounting what occurred to Yaakov. And therefore, it makes it dependent upon the one who is primary, which is Yaakov. That's a chashuv thing. That's a chashuv Orach Chaim HaKadosh. Because sometimes, again, you have a situation where it looks like the Jewish people are the secondary player to what's happening in that particular situation. This pasuk is telling us that even if the Jew has a quieter role or a smaller role, it's the Jew who has the primary role. The Jew always has the primary role. The Jew always is the ikar in the conversation. Again, even when he's not the primary voice in the dialogue. It's a very good Orach Chaim HaKadosh to remind us of who we are and our importance in the world. Okay, the hour is getting pretty late. So let's go to Pasuk Yud Ches, since you're all great Talmidei Chachamim, and some of you are in the Parsha of Shidduchim, so you should know Perech Chav Tes, Pasuk Yud Ches.
There's going to be one day when you don't do that.
What? The time is short. Time is always short. That's not going to change, Rav Jojo. That's the Metzias. I'm sorry. Okay, Pasuk Yud Ches. What page? What page? Kuf Nun Aleph. Vayehav Yaakov es Rachel. The Torah describes a little bit the feelings that Yaakov has for Rachel and Leah. The Or Chaim HaKadosh points out that perhaps Leah is older than Rachel. We have midrashic indications that maybe they were twins, the same way that Yaakov and Esav were twins. The Rachel and Leah were twins, but the Or Chaim HaKadosh clearly says here that they're midrashim that indicate that. Right, it makes sense, right, that they're the pair for Yaakov and Esav, who are also a pair. Or Chaim HaKadosh entertains the possibility that Leah is maybe a few years older than Rachel. Right, that she's referred to as the Katana. It might be a reference to her height, might be a reference to her appearance. Okay, again, we don't have time to see everything inside. But the Pasuk says that Yaakov loved Rachel. It told us a moment ago that Rachel was very beautiful. So why is the Torah emphasizing Vayahav Yaakov es Rachel? The answer is that Yaakov loved Rachel not because of her beauty, but he loved Rachel because of her Rachelness. He loved Rachel because of her greatness as one of the Imos. Perish, lo litzad yafya, el litzad mashehi Rachel bas zugo. He loved Rachel because he recognized that she is his soulmate. That he didn't get caught up on the superficialities of Rachel's beauty, which was certainly a sight to see. She was very physically attractive. Right? But Yaakov loved the fact that she was Rachel. And that's obviously a mature perspective when it comes to looking at looking for a spouse and looking at someone of the opposite gender. However, the Or Chaim HaKadosh says a second shot, which might be a little more olam hazeh in a certain sense for some of us, and that is a person has yetzaharas, and therefore you should marry someone who's attractive to you. And a Talmud Chacham Bifrat. This is fascinating. A Talmud Chacham becomes a Talmud Chacham because he has tremendous energy. A Talmud Chacham has to have tremendous strength to become wildly in love with Torah and to commit himself to Torah. But that drive and that passion, very often the flip side of that is tremendous taiva. It's tremendous taiva. It's hard to imagine. You look at a tzaddik, you say, that tzaddik, he probably has no taiva for nashim or for anything of the sort. Right? But the opposite is true. Barasi Yetzahara, Barasi Torah Tavlin. Stam Yetzahara refers to the Yetzahara for Inyanim Bavarayos. And therefore, the person, the relationship between Torah, right, and sexual drive are often very strongly connected. And therefore, look what he quotes. He quotes the Gemara in Shabbos that says, "Bidin zivug Talmud Chacham shetzarach shetielo isha na keneged yetzahara." Because the Talmud Chacham is going to have a bigger yetzahara than maybe the average Joe, because he has such passion, which he channels hopefully towards Torah. But to counter the fact that he also has a big yetzahara, a Talmud Chacham should marry a woman who is particularly beautiful, physically attractive. Different than what he said. The first part he said is Yaakov focused not on Rachel's physical beauty. But now he's saying that no, the Gemara has such a reality that a Talmud Chacham should seek a wife who's very beautiful. Okay? So if you're looking for a Shidduch, right, and you want to go out with a very pretty girl, then you better be prepared to become a big Talmud Chacham. That's the Achrayus. V'agam ki yeshtana Yaakov l'mal yusa shemushlo mietzahara. Even though Yaakov himself, we have many indications that he was very much in control of his yetzahara. Him kol zeh ha-Torah telameid la-Adam das. The Torah is teaching us this mitzias. That sometimes the connection between Torah and an attraction to women is very strong. And therefore a Talmud Chacham should marry a beautiful woman, and that's in fact what Yaakov did. Yaakov loved Rachel because she was physically more attractive than Leah. Okay, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. I want to just show you, because we always try to find Kedushin. Mamish, the sugi we learned this week, is a piece of Or Chaim HaKadosh. What we learned yesterday, and we're going to continue in Gemara Shir today, is Mamish straight in the Or Chaim HaKadosh. Can you marry someone with a loan? It's Mamish, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. So it says that when Yaakov, I'll just tell it to you outside because I want just one last piece and then conclude. But it says that when Yaakov finally had earned his wife, Yaakov says in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, "Give me my wife." Vayomer Yaakov Alavan Hava Es Ishti. Give me my wife. Bring her to me. So the Or Chaim HaKadosh says, "What kind of way is that to talk?" So Yaakov says the Or Chaim HaKadosh, based on a Rambam in the fifth parak of Hilchos Ishus, that Yaakov was saying, the work that I did to earn to earn my wife is not actually a kinyan. It would be like trying to be kona an isha with a loan that you're going to pay. Right? It's out of order. It's exactly the problem of Makadish Mamalva. And therefore, with the milveh. And therefore, the Rechaim HaKadosh says, Yaakov says, Havali ishti, bring me my wife, va'avo eileha, and I'll be intimate with her, because he understands he needs to still make a kinyan to complete the marriage. And he's nervous that maybe this charlatan that we call Lavan is going to try to pull a fast one on him, so he wants to make a kinyan on his isha before Lavan tries to weasel out of it once again. Okay? And last but not least, let's go to Pasuk Lamed. And again, you'll learn the difference between Gashmias and Ruchnias. When it comes to Gashmias, the more exposure you have to Gashmias, the older it gets. It gets stale. Ruchnias is supposed to be just the opposite. And therefore, we find the fascinating thing about Yaakov's relationship with Rachel. Yaakov loved Rachel. Yaakov spent a lot of time with Rachel. Yaakov lived, both in a sharing a tent and in an intimate sense. They lived together often. And therefore, look what the pasuk says. The pasuk says, "Ve'yavo gam el Rachel, ve'yehav gam es Rachel mileya." Right? Yaakov drew close to Rachel. He came to Rachel, and he loved Rachel more than Leah. Why does the pasuk tell us two times he spent a lot of time with Rachel and he loved her more than Leah? Because you might think that the more time you spend with someone, right, the more you take it for granted, that the relationship starts to get old. The very opposite was true about the relationship between Yaakov and Rachel. Because it was a relationship that was built on spiritual principles. Look what he writes. V'ulai, she'achavin l'rabos sheba b'tosefes kviyas etzla. The Torah is emphasizing that Yaakov spent a tremendous amount of time, kviyas, a permanent time to be with Rachel. She'aisim itaso b'kviyas etzla Rachel. His bed was permanently alongside Rachel's, attached to Rachel. V'lezeh amar v'yavo gamel Rachel. Even though he spent a lot of time with Rachel, the pasuk says v'yehav gam es Rachel. Gam always comes to increase something, right? Gam always implies a reboy. So the time that he spent with her didn't cause him to like her less; it caused him to like her more. That's a good indication if your relationship's in a good place in terms of a marriage, right? You should. As you're dating, you should like the girl more as time goes on, not less. And the same thing is true in marriage. And it's not always the case, unfortunately. Right? But you should fall in love with your spouse that much more as time goes on. Not the opposite. Not that you take each other for granted and stop paying attention to each other. But the more time you spend together, if you're building in the right way, the love will be increased. Perish, milvad tosefes ha'amor od hosif la. Shaheva yoser melei, his love for her increased. V'timsa ki kafi ha'teva. Exposure to things, repetition of things, involvement with things usually causes a diminishing of love. Like the pasuk says in Mishlei Perachaf Hey, Pen yisba'acha usnei echa. Lest you become satisfied by it and then you hate it. You grow tired of it. I've gotten all that I can get out of this. V'harchaka tolid hataiva. Part of the system of the nida cycle to cause separation between husband and wife is to maintain a hischatshus in the relationship. Right? Now, this shouldn't be taken for granted. But again, that's built in because of the lowliness of man's teva. The higher level should be what? That a person should be able to spend time with something, and if it's a meaningful thing, your love for it grows the more time you spend together. He says, this is the secret, mayim genuvim yimtaku. The pasuk says that stolen water is sweet, because it's a rare opportunity. So we find pleasure in the unusual things, in the rare opportunities. But again, the pasuk is telling us Yaakov and Rachel were able to be together so often and yet to build something so wholesome together. V'lezeh ramaz akasav v'omro v'yavo gam el Rachel b'tosefes kviyas b'afal pichein gam ohav osah v'lo nismato ha'ava mitzad zeh ha'gam shaya masmid eslav v'olei t'leya. You would think he would love Leah more because Leah was the spouse he spent less time with. No. It was the fact that he was immersing himself in that world of Rachel, and he was doing so for the right reasons, that the love continued to grow. V'shir mitevas mileya, hu milehav leya. He loved Yaakov meleya, from Leah, even more than Leah. The time that he spent with Rachel caused the increase of love. So again, we've learned some amazing things about Yaakov Avinu. What a tzaddik he was. and his deep connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his self-awareness in his dreams, right? His ability to bring bracha to so many people, and his ability to marry for the right reason, and to be able to engage in relationships with everyone that he met for the right reasons and in the right way. So Mir Tashem, as the B'nai Yaakov, as B'nai Yisrael, Uvizarech, like the Pasuk says, to be able to continue to bring bracha to the world, and in the way to be zochet to the Gula Shleima B'mehera B'yameinu. Amen. Shkoyach.
Zave Shuvos Yaakov. Zave.